Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Travis Walker. I'm the discipleship pastor at First Family Church in Ankeny, Iowa. And it was my privilege on Sunday to open God's Word with our church family. We are walking through the book of Exodus, and we were in the chapters of 30 and 31. And in those chapters, God is wrapping up his instruction to Moses on how the temple, the tabernacle at that time, should look, what elements are in it. But then he moves in chapter 31 to how it should function, to what the tabernacle does on a regular basis. And so we're able to look at mainly four elements inside the tabernacle and four habits, common practices that the tabernacle would have. And then as we move to chapter 31, we looked at two promises and a reminder from God to Moses. So those four elements, just as a reminder, were the ransom tax, the bronze basin, the sacred anointing oil, and the sacred incense. And we saw just a wonder of those as they remind God's people of what he is like, holy, set apart, perfect, and what we are like, sinful and unworthy and deserving. But yet because of God's love and grace and mercy, he provides a way for God's people to access his presence. And then in 31, again, we see the beauty that God not only commands, but he provides what he commands. In chapter 31, we see him provide the workers that it would take to build the sacred tabernacle. He provides the wisdom, the talents, the abilities, and even the people who would do it. And then in the end of 31, we see the beautiful reminder to not neglect the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath holy, to remember the Sabbath, partake of the Sabbath, because ultimately what God is inviting us into is rest. Beautiful text. Well, as I wrapped up preaching on Sunday, I got two just fantastic questions that were submitted over our email on these texts, these sermons. And so I just thought I would bring these two questions before you, church family, as a way for you to again meditate on our text and our sermon from Sunday. So I'm going to address the questions, give you a moment to think and ponder and meditate, and then I will share some of my thoughts and insights regarding these questions. I thought they were just beautiful and very kind questions from our church regarding our text on Sunday. So the first question is this: did Old Testament followers of God, so God's people in the Old Testament, did they have assurance of salvation like we have today? What a great question. So we understand and we fully believe that Old Testament believers are saved the same way New Testament believers are, by faith and ultimately a Savior, Jesus Christ. Was assurance the same as it is today, that we have complete confidence that when I breathe my last breath, that I will be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's not based upon my efforts or my work that saves me, but on his work on my behalf. So is assurance the same? I want to answer that question by saying yes and no. This is my take on it. I'd love for you to consider this and to discuss this with your family or your small group. My answer is yes, because salvation is the same. It's by faith. So ultimately, they should have had assurance that God would save them based upon his promises, that he would redeem them, that he would provide for them, that he would give them rest. Yes, salvation is the same today. But it is different because of the evidence we have that God kept his word. Think about, we talked about this on Sunday. When Christ died, he said, "It is finished." And so up until that point, the work had not been finished. Then Christ is buried for 3 days, and then he ascends from the grave. He defeats death. He ultimately is victorious over sin, death, and Satan by raising from the dead on the third day. And that is evidence to us that the sacrifice was accepted, that God's wrath was satisfied, that the price had been paid. And so for New Testament saints, we look back to the resurrection as evidence that it is finished, that Christ accomplished everything he said he would. So for Old Testament saints, their assurance came from their faith in God's character and his faithfulness and that he keeps his word. Does that make sense? So I do think assurance would have been more challenging because they didn't have evidence of the resurrection, but still they had assurance because of God's faithfulness and his character that he would obey, he would fulfill, he would keep his promises to his people. So fantastic question. Just take, I thought I'd take a few minutes to do my best to address it. Our confidence is in God's character. That has always been the same. What's different is we have the empty tomb. And so that gives us greater assurance. So hope that's helpful. I'd love to hear your thoughts and any additional insights you'd have. Feel free to send those into our email. It'd be helpful. All right. The second question I got was regarding the Sabbath. We get this question pretty regularly when we address the Sabbath in our text or when it comes up in our sermons. And so here was the question I received. What does keeping the Sabbath look like today? We see the command in Exodus chapter 31 to keep the Sabbath with strict punishment if a follower of God does not keep the Sabbath. And it was very specific and detailed of what that looked like. No work. It was very clear that on 6 days you may labor, but there is one day you should not labor. And if you do, there's consequences from God because you failed to keep the Sabbath. Is that still true today? And again, my answer will be a little unkind. It'll be yes and no. My answer to yes is yes, we should still keep the Sabbath. We should still observe a time of rest. We should still accept the God-ordained creation order, which is he worked and he rested. We should not labor every single moment of every single day, especially spiritually speaking, thinking that anything we do contributes or merits our favor with God. So the principle of honor the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath, is still in play today. It does not save us if we do keep it. We do not lose our salvation if we don't, but the principle and the natural rhythm of keeping the Sabbath is still much for our benefit, is still something that we should keep. How that looks is probably where I would say is different. I do believe because Christ fulfilled the law, he offers us freedom in Christ because of the grace and mercy that he offers us. I think there is freedom on how we do that. I don't think we have to obey every Pharisaical command. I don't think we have to keep every Levitical explanation of the Sabbath today, but we should still keep the heart of the Sabbath today. I think it's fair to remember, it's very good, not just fair, it's good and helpful, and it's such a blessing to us to remember that the work of Christ fulfilled anything that we could contribute to our salvation. It is done. It is finished. And so to rest in that effort, I think it's still necessary and good and helpful to take time regularly to reflect and to rest and to enjoy the presence of God that we have rather than labor for it. And so the answer should be, yeah, every week you should take time to enjoy the presence of God and to remember his works on your behalf and to rest and cease from your laboring of earning. Those are still in play. A couple things that I think this looks super practically is the church service for many is a hour and a half of rest, remembrance, and enjoyment. We would be foolish to ignore the gift of the local church. For some of us pastors, that is work, But for the vast majority of our church, it's not. So you should, every single week, enjoy the gathering of the body of Christ to remember and celebrate the gospel. I do think spending time with Jesus, spending time with God through his word and prayer, you should make sure that is not on your category list of work. I think that should be on your category of rest and remembrance and enjoyment. I think for so many in the Christian church, we place time with Jesus in the category of chores. And I think that's one way we failed to keep the Sabbath. We've done time with God rather than enjoy time with God. And so I would just encourage you to evaluate how you view your time with God through Bible reading, prayer, sitting at his feet, reading the Bible, listening to worship. Take that off your category list of work or chores and put it into the category of rest. We probably, if I'm being honest and transparent, I think we have way more rest time than we admit. But how we use our rest is probably the problem. So I would encourage the church to spend time every day, every week, every month, sitting at the feet of Jesus, resting. I can think of nothing greater for you to do with your time and energy and resources than spend it with Jesus and experience the rest and refueling that he gives you because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So yes, it's still in play for today, but how it looks, there's a lot more freedom. And be careful of categorizing your time with Jesus as a task that you accomplish. So those are some thoughts I had regarding our text and these beautiful questions. Church family, thanks so much for sending them in. I'd love for you to keep discussing these, wrestling with these. These will be a benefit and blessing to you. Well, this was another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.